Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to keep your bulletins handy. And turning to page 7, we're going to look at our gospel reading today. We're reading from the Gospel of Mark as we continue through Epiphany, and we'll do so more as we go through the rest of the church year. And one of Mark's sort of trademarks, if you will, is his use of immediately. See, when you read the four Gospels, each of them has their own characteristics. And one of Mark's characteristics is that he's very direct. What is happening now, and it's happening quickly, and it's happening right in front of you. And so when you read Mark, you almost have to like make sure you remember to breathe, because he goes and stuff happens and it's exciting, and it really is quite amazing to use one of his words. And this happens with Jesus as he's traveling with his disciples, and he comes into Capernaum, which becomes sort of a home base for him. And he goes into the synagogue, and as Mark says, immediately. So the first thing that Jesus does is he goes into the synagogue to start teaching and to really sort of introduce himself to the people around. And he starts teaching, as is his custom. And what happens is, as he's teaching, notice in verse 22 what happens to the people as they're hearing him teach. They are, he uses the word, astonished. It's an interesting word, because it has connotations of being like, I've never heard this before. I'm astonished at what I'm hearing. Not necessarily in a bad way, but in a almost confused way. The people are hearing Jesus teach, and it's almost as if their ears are being deceived. They can't understand, and they're just astonished at this man's teaching, because he teaches with authority. And notice Mark says, not as the scribes. The scribes teach not as though they have authority, but as sort of systematically. They're not the best as far as teaching goes. They just kind of go through the motions and read from the manual, so to speak. I had a professor once when I was doing my undergrad in Michigan, and it was biology 101, so it's not a very exciting topic. But this guy, I'll tell you what, we had the textbook, and then we had a notebook that he had provided, and then he would write on the board verbatim what he was saying and what you were reading in the textbook. He would write it. Now, as somebody who teaches, I can understand the need for multiple inputs, but this was awful. He was a scribe. He was simply teaching what was in the book to teach, as the book said it, and without any sort of insight or explanation, he was just teaching. He was doing his job, what he was required to do, and we as students did our job trying to stay awake. I got a C. So I didn't go to class very often once I figured out what he was doing. It was awful. But Jesus comes into the synagogue and astonishes them with his authority. It takes a lot to astonish us as 21st century knowledgeable Christians, or at least those who are trying to figure it out. We're not astonished by much. We're not surprised by much. It takes a lot to sort of get us off center so that we're really seeing things for what they are. We're pretty scribal people. When was the last time you were astonished by something, where your eyes were open and you were like, this is so interesting, exciting, new, I mean, every movie, every television show, every commentary, they all do the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun, so Solomon would say. It takes a lot to astonish us. We're pretty sometimes jaded, skeptical. It takes a lot to knock us off our feet. We're not sure how to handle things that would astonish us. A lot of times we're sort of like, well, that can't be real. And this is the way the people were hearing Jesus teach. He can't be for real. Because he's saying things we never heard anybody say before. And maybe, as Jesus was teaching, that meant he was calling out sin that they had never had their stuff called out on them before. Nobody's ever called me out on my sin. I'm astonished that he would have the authority or think he has the authority to do that. They were astonished. They sat in awe hearing Jesus teach. And then in typical Mark-like fashion, immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, a demon, had taken possession of this man, and he stands up. Now, if you want to be astonished in a Lutheran congregation, have somebody stand up and shout "Alleluia" in the middle of the sermon. Thank you, Kimmy. I know you would. I know you would. This man stands up and starts shouting a loud voice in the synagogue that's all silent as everybody sat, rapt attention to what Jesus is teaching. And then all of a sudden, jump scare type, this guy stands up and starts shouting, "What have you to do with us, Jesus? We know who you are. These people may not. They may not know who you are. They certainly are astonished at hearing this taught for the first time with your authority. But we, the demons, the evil ones, the ones who are causing all sorts of problems, we know who you are. What have you to do with us? Have you come to destroy us?" Notice the reaction. The demons aren't astonished. The demons are afraid. They're not astonished at Jesus' teaching. They know his teaching. They know the Bible probably better than any of those other people sitting in those seats as they were hearing him teach. They know the Word of God really, really well. So they weren't astonished at his teaching. They were afraid. They were afraid at what Jesus had come to do. They were afraid because they knew what Jesus had come to do. The demons stand up and shout that they want Jesus to leave them be. Get out of here. Leave us be, Jesus, because we know what you are here to do. They are afraid. Have you come to destroy us? They know he can. They know he can. They're afraid of Jesus' authority. Now, I know we don't often talk about us being afraid of Jesus, and I'm glad for that. But there is this sinful nature in us, the old Adam, as Luther would say, that really doesn't like Jesus' authority. We don't like the Word of God telling us we can and can't do something. We would rail against God and say, "That's not fair. I want to do what I want to do, and what I want to do is best for me. So God, you stay out of it," which is what the demons are saying. "We know what we're doing. You stay out of it, Jesus. Leave us be. Leave us to cause disruption." And in our heart of hearts, so many times we want to say, "Jesus, just let me have this one." Whatever sin that is that lurks in us, and each of us has all sorts of stuff, we kind of don't want the authority of Jesus to say anything. Because what does that do to us when we hear the Word of God say, "Thou shalt not," or "You should not do this," or as Paul says, "Don't be arrogant about your faith and cause problems for those who are weaker. Don't do those things." And we say, "Well, why not?" That day when your toddler learns that word? Why? 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 Why not, Jesus? Why can't I do those things? Why can't I go off and party like there's no tomorrow and do all sorts of destructive things to my body and to others? Why? Why can't I do that? Why can't I gossip about the person around the corner who's doing things we know they shouldn't be doing? Why? Why can't I do that? Jesus, just let us have that one. We know you died for all of the sins of the world, but let me just have that one. There's that sinful nature in us that is afraid of the authority of Jesus. We don't know what to do with it. Jesus takes the demons, orders them to be silent. It's always such a nice phrase. In a sense, Jesus is telling them to shut up. We don't like Jesus saying that, but that's what he said. Shut up and get out, is what he said. And so the demons do, but not before they make a big show of it, because this is what our sin loves to do, is make a big show of everything. And so the demons convulse the guy and cry out with loud voices so that everybody around them is afraid of all of the things that are going on. They love to disrupt. Our sin loves to disrupt. The demons flee. And then notice the reaction of the group again. Verse 27, and they were all amazed. Now, it's not the same as astonished, because now they've seen something. They've not just heard his authority, they've seen it. Now they're sort of like, we use a phrase sometimes that really shook me. That affected me deep in my core. That's amazed, in Mark's words. This event that happened in that synagogue shook those people of Capernaum to the core. They were astonished, amazed, afraid, all of it mixed together. They didn't know what to do with this Jesus who speaks with authority that not just the word, but the demons do what he tells them to do. Who is this Jesus? They're amazed. They're set back on their heels. They're off balance. It's disrupted their whole imagination. They don't know what to do with this. They're amazed. They're fearful. This Jesus comes to you today with the same authority, as he says in Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He is the one authority. He comes to you today to, yes, call out the sins that we have. And just like he told the one woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more, he says. His same authority comes to you today and says, your sins, though many, are forgiven. And with all authority that he commands the demons to flee, that he speaks of the scriptures, that same authority says to you, I am the one who died for you. I am the one who forgives your sins. Your sins are forgiven. He says, I am the one who comes in body and blood, bread and wine, to forgive your sins, to strengthen your faith. And that same authority speaks his word to you today. That same authority sets you on your heels, astonishes, amazes. That same Word of God that is spoken with that same authority that it was in the Gospel of Mark in that day in Capernaum says to you, you are my children. You are forgiven. You are forever in my hands. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we'll have our